Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to this episode of Scrappy ABM. We are so excited that you're here. What you're actually about to hear is a recent podcast interview I did on another show, and we really just love the content and wanted to go ahead and re-release it here. So hope you enjoy this episode. If you want to listen to their podcast, it's actually just in the show notes below. So thank you again, and we'll see you in the episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Content Amplified. Today, I'm joined by Mason. Mason, welcome to the show.
Ben, super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Mason, I'm a longtime fan of your podcast and your material, so this is a dream come true to have you on the podcast today.
I'm so sorry. You probably need some better podcast taste if I feel like my stuff.
I'm excited to have you either way. Mason, for anyone in our audience that doesn't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I have been doing podcasting for about 4 years. If you've been a longtime listener, you might have first followed on the Marketing Ladder, which was a podcast that was just dedicated to helping people learn how to build their marketing career, which was a ton of fun. And I did that for about 2 years. And then I still love podcasting, but ended up launching my own company. So I sunset the Marketing Ladder and started Scrappy ABM. So if you Google Scrappy ABM, you'll see the podcast, the newsletter, the company, the swag show. There's like a kind of with the Spaceballs approach. So everything is just the same name, makes it really easy to find. So yeah, if you just look up Scrappy ABM, we've now got over 140 episodes that are dedicated to just how do you build an ABM program. I think for this audience, if you're thinking about content, that means in 4 years, I've recorded 300 podcast episodes. Hopefully I have at least one or two good things to say. If not, it's been 300 episodes of a lot of wasted time.
Yeah, podcasts, they start to stack up and it's fun to acquire that. It's one of my favorite platforms. It's super cool. Mason, before we dive into today's subject, let's get to know, what do you love about content and marketing? Something we ask every single guest. What do you love about that stuff?
Yeah, so I started my career, we'll talk a little bit about background. I know a little bit. But I started my career in sales where I had no marketing support. So it was just cold outbound and I had to like educate everything for our buyers. And then I got into content marketing and then started talking with our sales team when we started to develop really great content. And they're like, yeah, like people actually come in knowing things. Whoa, that's crazy. Like they already know stuff about us. That's great. Wow. So what I love about content is one, it just makes everyone's life genuinely better, both the customer, because they have a higher degree of confidence that like you're the right solution for them. For sales, like sales is easier when you've got great content marketing that's running. And then for CS, because long term, these customers have been following you for years already. So when it comes to CS, they're already happy because they already had really great expectations on the front end because of the expectations set through content. I actually think like really great content marketing is just really helpful for long-term expectation setting and creating a better company overall.
I love it. Yep. Content marketing is one of the biggest areas that a business can invest in my honest opinion, and it benefits everyone in the business. That's super cool. Okay, Mason, obviously you know the ABM landscape like no one else. So we're going to talk about matching content to the right stage of the buyer's journey, aligning that content to the medium that really best aligns with your audience. So first and foremost, when it comes to ABM and everything going in the space, how does content play that role and how can you build the right content for the right audience that you're trying to attract?
Yeah, I think when we start to think about content in ABM, it's first helpful to understand what is ABM. So when we think about ABM, the easiest way to think through it is right person, right place, right message, right time. So the role of content is right message. And I've just seen a lot of people running ABM programs. And for those of you that are listening, I'm putting that in quotes, where they're like, oh yeah, we're like running sales sequences. That's our ABM program. Or they're using third-party intent. And for someone that doesn't know what third-party intent is, it's things like G2 websites, or there are websites that can look at all of the search traffic around specific terms and then see what companies are searching for those terms. And that's intent data. Get third-party intent and say, ah, they're ready for a meeting. So then they do an outbound sequence. It's, hey, it looks like you are like looking for a solution. Could you buy us right now? So when I think about the context of ABM, like there should be clear stages of a buyer's journey, or we refer to it as the account progression model, of like how we're progressing the account through the buying decision from awareness. So when you're thinking about this ABM program, it's not just, hey, there was some kind of a signal that showed in-market potential, and then we just like spam cannon them. Because that's not really ABM. That's just like bad. It's not really a strategy. That's just a bad idea. So I want to be super clear on that front, because really when I think about then ABM done is recognizing where is the buyer currently in their journey and how do I match content to educate them at this current stage so that they build a brand affinity towards us, with the goal being that we can actually guide them through the stages of making the purchase decision so that when they do need our support and help, we're the obvious choice.
That's amazing. So a follow-up question to that. So when you're building out this content and you're mapping it against their stage of their journey and the stage of the relationship with your business, number one, how are you dictating what stage they're in? What resources are you utilizing? Things like that. Then I'd love after that, we'll dive into more mapping the content to those stages.
Yeah, super great question. Unsurprisingly, probably the number one question we get, which is like, all right, that's cool in theory, but what do we do about it? And I think through high level account progression model would be stages like awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, and re-engagement. So like those standard stages that we're using for a new business development ABM program. I specify that because you could also build an in-pipeline ABM program, at which point your stages would just be your sales pipeline stages, or a customer ABM program, at which point your stages would be focused first on onboarding and like time to value. And then it actually mirrors a lot of the new business ABM program stages. They're just, instead of like company awareness, it's more like solution awareness of all the things your company can do for them. So anyway, that's the account progression model theory. And then as we start to think through how do we guide people, the primary goal is first defining what those stages mean for your organization. I get asked a question like, how do you define these different things? Like I was on a webinar yesterday and someone was like, how do you define qualified? And I was like, I don't know. What do you deem as qualified? Like I can throw out a nebulous term, because for me, qualified is like ICP fit meeting on my calendar. That sounds good. That sounds qualified and has budget. I should also clarify that. It has budget and wants to buy right now. For me, that's qualified. But for you, I don't know, that might be too much. So you need to first define these terms for yourself. So I'll give you frameworks of like how to think about it. Awareness is generally, do they know that we exist? And that is the goal. It's like, can I validate that they know we exist? So for me, someone that follows our company page on LinkedIn, someone that's connected with me on LinkedIn, someone that's on our email newsletter list, like those are measurable ways that I can say they know that I exist, which is great. So they are aware. Initial engagement. Do we know that they have a problem? This is typically going to be content engagement on specific kinds of content assets. So if somebody checks out our newsletter every week, cool, probably has a problem. Or if somebody's on my LinkedIn content every day, probably has a problem. Or they like cute baby photos. Also that potentially. But again, if they be specific, probably have a problem. Full engagement. We actually then, for us, meaningful engagement is we know that they're searching for viable solutions. So how we actually start to validate that is we do one-to-one follow-ups with people that are highly engaged in our initial engagement content to then provide new content that is deeper dive. So a couple of examples would be things like we have a few like marathon podcast episodes that do really deep dives. We've got a couple of masterclasses that we've done. So like we did one with User Gems that's free and 3 hours long. Like it's intense.
Yeah, that'll take a minute. That's great.
So like it's real deep dive content. So if we send that over to them and they're like, oh my goodness, this is amazing. Thank you so much. We then know like they actually engage back and they sometimes they're like, we then follow up like a few weeks later. Like, hey, did you get through all the content? Yes, that's so helpful. So awesome. So based on that like level of commitment to learning, they likely actually have they're searching for viable solutions. Great. And then from there, okay, what are the solutions they're looking for? At which point we can start to assess, hey, by the way, like, we have this thing. And for our webinars, we do exclusive offers that are like discounted bundles. And just, hey, if you like sign up in the next week, we'll give you, we did one earlier this week that was like 3 playbooks in 3 months for 30K. So good offer. And we say you have to sign up in this time frame. So if they show interest, great. That's a marketing qualified account. And then we qualify them for timing and budget. So like it all kind of stacks on top of each other. And the other way to think through MQA is just like product page, pricing page, schedule, call page. Like the goal is that we can validate that they understand the unique ways in which we would solve their problem. And then SQA is just focused on timing and budget. Because in the context of account-based marketing, if they're in your program, they should already be qualified, like from a fit perspective. So the whole goal of SQA is just timing and budget. And that's an opportunity which works through your sales cycle. And the last stage is re-engagement. Because let's say somebody gets to the MQA stage and then they ghost. Which happens, like it's whatever. What's the ongoing nurture program? Like how do we actually keep people engaged with fit content? So you don't have a specific re-engagement program that's in place, because I can't tell you the number of people that I've seen They'll do a 6-month pilot program. And they're like, ABM didn't work. And it's like, your sales cycle is standardly 9 months anyway, not to mention all the education that goes before the 9 months. So you tried it for 6, you got good progress. They just didn't convert yet. So keep them engaged. It's just not the right time. It's not the right budget cycle. Like, these things are expensive, y'all. Like, sometimes it just takes a year, and that's okay. So that is how we think through the stages and a series of examples of how we do it for ourselves. But I would just look at your current programming, figure out what you're currently tracking. And then again, if you think about it from that perspective of like, awareness is, do they know we exist? Initial engagement is, do we know they have a problem? Meaningful engagement is, do we know they're exploring viable solutions? MQA is, do they understand our solution? SQA is, are they a fit based on timing and budget? Opportunity is, could they actually buy from us based on our standard sales cycle? And then re-engagement is, do they already know about this stuff, but they're not ready to buy right now? How do we keep them engaged? Those are your definitions, generally. Figure out how that works in your context. That's what I'd recommend.
I love that. And I love how you got down to the questions, right? Are they aware that we exist? Like, it's so much more valuable to say that than, are they at the awareness stage? It's better to say, okay, have they heard of the company name? And could they kick out any kind of a semblance of what we do? Do they have any idea of that? And going down that, clearly that makes a really good pathway to creating the right content for those stages. So I mean, even just skip that question, because I think anyone listening knows content well enough to say, if I have the question, I think I can get to the right content. My next question is, when you're looking at this, one of the cool things about account-based marketing is the internal alignment amongst various departments, including marketing and sales. When you are running these plays and working really closely with content to drive people further down the funnel, how can you use that content better with the internal departments? How are you coaching salespeople? Where do you put them in the process? How do you recommend people kind of get everyone involved with content, get them excited, and ultimately use it to move people further down the journey?
Yeah, great couple of questions. I have 3 answers. So first, when we think through where does sales get involved for every stage, so the account progression model is like one of our frameworks. The second framework is our activation play framework. And the idea is it's 4 Ds. So data, distribution, destination, and direction. So data is just who we're going after and why we're reaching out. Another way of saying that is targets and triggers. And then based on your targets and your triggers, you should have highly personalized, nuanced, and specific messaging. So another way of thinking through that is data covers right person, right time. So right person, right time. Next is in distribution. Distribution is how are we getting in front of them. For some salespeople, they're going to be offended by this, and I'm sorry. Sales is a distribution channel. So like outbound is a distribution channel. Social selling, distribution. Social engagement, distribution. So the role of sales is to distribute information to the buyers at the right time in a way in which they should engage. So that's where sales typically comes in. And as you think about the account progression, I don't recommend it at the awareness stage because like they've never heard of us. So like why on earth would they ever respond to us? And also with deliverability challenges right now, like just not the most efficient use of their time because sales, I don't know if you know this, super expensive, massive cost in the P&L. So like, why would we waste their time, energy, and effort on someone that's never heard of us? Huge waste. Initial engagement depends generally. Where I really see sales most impact is MQA, SQA, opportunity, obviously. Like obviously opportunity and SQA. But when we know that the account understands something about our product because we can showcase and validate, they've actually spent 3 minutes on the product page and watch these videos. Okay, sales should probably follow up. Like, it's a way better ask than, hey, here's your list. Call down this list of 300 accounts. Like, never talked to a salesperson that would rather have the list of 300 accounts versus the right accounts that have been on page for 3 minutes. So again, that is typically where I see the role of sales. I just got really deep on distribution. So let me go back to the 4Ds. Data, distribution, then we get to destination. So this is what our podcast will be mostly about, which is content. It's like, where are we sending them to? And then lastly is direction, which is just simply how do you plan to track it? So that's the 4D framework. So again, that is where sales typically gets involved. As we then think through specifically like, how do we organize content? That's something our team did. I didn't even do this. I've never done this myself before our team started to do it. And I was like, oh, you guys are geniuses. It's awesome to hire people smarter than you. We went through based on the target accounts that we were going after and created specific messaging that overcame past pain points or known pain points based on third-party research. And then actually matched third-party research pain points with first-party content of how our product or offer directly overcame third-party validated research. Super helpful. That actually becomes just a document that you then give to your sales team and say, hey, we're going after these people. This industry, based on all this research, struggles with these things. This is how we answer those things. Got it? If you want content that already supports that, we already made it too. It's like, use that in your outbound, like it's supplemental, just as an always on type thing. And the last component is you think through, again, the 4D framework at every stage, we've been prescriptive. Like sales, you should say this at this time. And here are the content assets that support moving them to the next stage of their journey. So we actually just give them the content and the templates. And I'll be super, super clear. When I work with sales teams, we create the templates in such a way that it makes sense for sales to be involved. So ideally, there is some level of personalization. Like there is some level of they went and did research on the prospect and then personalized it. But that's still a template. Like 50% of the copy should be likely somewhat the same because that's the main message we're trying to get across. But then the other 50% should be personalized and nuanced to that account based on research that is done by the sales rep, which we can train them on how to do. So as we think about the cross-functional component of ABM, it's like figuring out where sales fits into the process to have them go after the highest intent accounts and not based on third-party intent, but like actually ideally based off first-party content engagement because you know that they know about you, which is awesome. It's exponentially easier to sell to people that already know that you exist. Fight me on it. The second piece is then creating specific content assets and resources that directly address the pain points based on third-party research. And then the third component is just giving them actual templates and messaging guides on what to say at prospects at the right time based on where they are in the journey.
What I really love about this whole framework is the collaboration with sales to not only say, hey, here's just content, you should use it, but it's here's what went into it. This is the industry. This is all the proof that these are their problems. Here's how we address those problems. Here's all the typical objections you're going to have to overcome. Here's the material that helps you solve all of these issues and headaches you're going to go through. It validates, in my opinion, the content for the salesperson. It helps them understand this was a thoughtful process. It's not overly prescriptive. It's more of an augmentation of what I'm able to do because of the content. So I love that collaboration piece and the explanation that's involved helping people really get aligned and just care about the content as well. I think that's super cool. Mason, these episodes are short on purpose and we have run out of time. It goes by so quick. This is amazing. We'll have to do some kind of a follow-up episode sometime in the future. But Mason, if anyone wants to reach out and connect with you online, how and where can they find you?
As referenced earlier, I took the Spaceballs approach. So if you Google Scrappy ABM, I am everywhere. I own the term. So pretty good at that. And then the other place is just LinkedIn. So look up Mason Cosby. There's no R in my name. I am unfortunately not the former kicker for the Green Bay Packers. I'd be much more wealthy and handsome if that were the case. So Mason Cosby on LinkedIn or Scrappy ABM, wherever you find anything on the internet.
Mason, again, thanks for the time and insights today.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.